Well, there's the fanfare. That means it's time to go off to the movies with Matt Olien. And Matt, you have gone to go see the latest in the, 101 Dalmatians story, Cruella. I guess I don't know if that's really how you would frame that. But, what's interesting to me already about Cruella is Cruella's always been played by an older woman. And now she's being played by somebody who's 5 years younger than I am. I'm not sure how I feel about, am I in the Cruella stage of life here?
Well, this is the Cruella backstory.
Okay.
So
we're still kind of
Disney,
young.
As you know, loves to do reboots and backstories, and they just keep making money hand over fist. I said years ago to someone, just invest in Disney. You'll never lose money. I know Disney World was shut down during
–
No, I
did
not. I know it's been shut down during COVID, but it'll reopen and people will spend – truckloads of money down there like we did with our kids. So this is the backstory to Cruella. And this is one of the strangest Disney backstory films I think I've ever seen. Mm. And when I say strange, it's the way the film is constructed, and I'll get to that. But also it's kind of this I still don't know if I like this movie or didn't like it. It's very seductive when you watch it. It's interesting. There's a lot of eye candy. But at the end – I was almost like, did I like that or didn't I like that? And I'm not really sure. So let me talk my way and walk my way through this, and maybe we can
figure out
if I liked it or not. So it's a strangely constructed film because it's narrated by Cruella, Emma Stone, as kind of looking back on her life and how things get going and how she becomes an orphan and then meets Horace and Jasper, who are also orphan boys. That's how she ends up with Horace and Jasper, who, of course, she treats like garbage in the Dalmatian movies as her imbeciles and things like that. But at first, they're all kind of these like street urchin pals. They're like a little family, and those are kind of some interesting scenes. But what's strange about the film is it's set in the early 70s for some reason, and I'm not really sure why it's set in the early 70s. The original film came out in 61. So they use that early 70s motif to really kind of delve into the fashion world of London in the early 70s, kind of the mods and the rockers and the long hair and all that kind of thing. The film feels like an extended music video and fashion show. Every few minutes, all of a sudden, Cruella, Emma Stone, is walking around to a different song. These boots are made for walking, or a song by the Zombies, or a song by the Rolling Stones. And then they get into more 70s music like ELO. And it feels like I'm watching a music video and a fashion show, and I think that was their intention. Craig Gillespie, the director, does infuse it with some, nice quick editing and things like that. So it feels a little different than other Disney backstory films. So that was okay, but I'm not really sure that's what I was expecting, was a long music video and fashion show. But the real problem with the film is it's too long. At 2 hours and 14 minutes, I kept waiting. Is this the climax? Oh, no, there's another climax coming. And I can't tell you too much about the plot because it basically involves the Battle of the Emmas, Emma Stone versus Emma Thompson. Emma Thompson plays a rich fashion designer. And Emma Stone, as Cruella, wants – Estella is her name. Her name is Estella first. That's her birth name. She wants to get into working for her in the fashion industry. Mm-hmm. And it sets up this rivalry between the two Emmas, Estella versus her employer, the Baroness, played by Emma Thompson. Both Emmas are great. They know how to choose scenery. They're superstars. They're both Best Actress Oscar winners. And it's really this battle royale between the two Emmas. Why it's a battle, you'll have to go see. There's a lot of backstory. There's a lot of stuff that isn't known about why she wants to work there at this fashion house. So overall, I guess it's a pleasant 2 hours and 14 minutes, but it was too long. And it's really interesting how they just basically shoved the music and fashion video down your throat. And the story is a little bit to the side. That's what I would say.
I don't want to give away any spoilers, but as I was watching the trailer, I was reading some of the comments, and a couple of the comments were something to the effect of, "Dear Disney, please don't Maleficent this, where you make it about a misunderstood hero. Please let her just be a bad villain." Can you answer anything about that without giving away spoilers?
I can. So in a film, usually you need someone to root for. Who do you root for in this film? Because Emma Thompson is a very seedy character as well as the fashion designer. And clearly we know how Cruella is going to end up. So I will say you're partly right. She needs to be misunderstood because we need someone to root for. That's about what I can say about that. Why she's misunderstood, you have to go see. But yes, if she's only the evil Cruella, we have nobody to root for in this film except maybe a couple of the dogs and Horace and Jasper, you know, who are just treated like bad employees by Cruella. But Emma Stone is a superstar. She has expressive eyes. She's great in the role. I give her a lot of credit. Emma Thompson is deliciously evil in her role. Hmm. And the costumes and the makeup will probably be in the Oscar mix.
So back in the 90s, and I think again in the early 2000s, there was another woman who played Cruella. And she is a multiple Academy Award nominee, Glenn Close. Do you want to give me all of the time she's been nominated? And if you're really feeling frisky, you can tell me who won instead.
Okay, so Glenn is now 0 for 8 at the Oscars. She has tied the great Peter O'Toole.
Yeah.
And I believe an honorary Oscar will be coming in the next few years. So initially, she was nominated in supporting roles. Mm-hmm. The World According to Garp, 1982, losing to Jessica Lange for Tootsie.
Yep.
83, she was up for The Big Chill, losing to Linda Hunt for The Year of Living Dangerously. Mm-hmm. 84 for The Natural, losing to Peggy Ashcroft for A Passage to India.
Mm-hmm.
Famously, Best Actress nominee, Fatal Attraction, 87. That should have been the Oscar, but she lost a share for Moonstruck. I would have voted for Glenn. 88, Dangerous Liaisons, losing to Jodie Foster in The Accused. Okay, 2011 for Albert Nobbs. Is that right? Ashley losing to Meryl Streep for The Iron Lady. And then we had just this last year, of course, for Hillbilly Elegy, losing to Yoo Jung-yoon for Minari.
Mm-hmm.
And the eighth one, oh my goodness.
Just a couple years earlier.
I know
earlier.
It is. The Wife.
Yes.
Losing to Olivia Colman for The Favorite.
That's just crazy. Do you remember what you had for breakfast?
Two Pop-Tarts.
We've been to the movies with Madeline.